Hong Kong Visa Geezer is Steve Barnes, and he joins me right here in the studio. How are you?
Hello, Phil.
Your regular sort of ish visit.
I haven't seen you for a couple of months, actually.
Lovely to see you, Steve. We've got a couple of things to talk about today. One is a very interesting case that's been in the press recently, but let's do some housework first and tell us if there are any new stuff we need to know about.
Right, last time I met you, we were talking about the introduction of what are known as the enhancement measures by the Immigration Department. They were scheduled to come into force first quarter 2015, as announced by CY Leung on January the 15th, 2015.
And they did.
May 4th, yes, they've arrived.
Tell us what it is. I mean, put it very simply and see if it applies to any of our listeners.
Well, look, from 39,000 feet, essentially, there was an assessment as to what the last, essentially, 10 years of immigration sort of policies really been all about. And we had the Capital Investment Entrance Scheme, which is a $10 million Hong Kong dollars investment for residence program, which was principally taken up by mainlanders. And the Immigration Department government determined that basically encouraging up to between 20,000 and 40,000 mainlanders to come and lend Hong Kong $10 million each for 7 years isn't probably going to really address our population demographics going forward. So in quick haste, that was overturned, and now we have a focus on attracting and retaining entrepreneurs, talents and professionals. And what's happened is the Immigration Department done a sort of a broad sweep of all the existing immigration programs that relate to talents, professionals and
like
entrepreneurs.
Like the special offers and stuff.
You can think of it that way, yeah. And they've done some tweaks and adjustments, essentially to make it easier for foreign nationals to come here and to remain here once they've settled. So there's some adjustments to the Quality Migrant Admission Scheme, which is a top-notch talent scheme, basically.
What about the more down-the-line stuff? That's interesting, actually. So a lot of people.
Well, I mean, Quality Migrant Admission Scheme, top-end. Basically, you can get a six-year limit of stay or an eight-year limit of stay. You get more points if you have graduated from a world top leading university, you know, ranking in 100. So those are efficiencies that have been at the top end. Now, at the bottom end, so to speak, I mean, you might say that the adjustments to the employment visa, where instead of having a 1, 2, 2, 3 year pattern of visa grant, assuming no change in your circumstances through those 8 years, you now have a 2, 3, 3 year pattern visa grant, which basically means you have to have less dealings with the Immigration Department once you get approved, which is good. Another adjustment was in relation to entrepreneurs. Those people who get business investment visas, they too get a 2, 3, 3 year grant. There's been a bit of extra visibility on what it takes to get approved under that program, because the Immigration Department have been traditionally criticised for not being too transparent about what the criteria for approval were, the published criteria for approval at least.
Right.
So now there's been some additional transparency that the Immigration Department afforded in that regard, which is useful, no doubt. It can only be welcomed, so no complaints about that. And then they've introduced another dimension to the business investment visa. It's for the so-called startup businesses. In essence, what this means is that if you want to join in or establish a business in Hong Kong, and you are an entrepreneur, then you have to get your business investment visa, and you prepare all your papers on the basis you can show you can make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong, which is a whole big thing.
Yeah.
But if you're a startup now, essentially you go through the process of making your preparations for your business investment visa, but simultaneously you apply to one of what are six presently government-accredited incubator accelerator kind of startup programs. Cyberport's got one, for example. InvestHK's got one, for example. And as a foreign national, if you can get yourself admitted onto one of these startup programs, then essentially any weaknesses in your substantive business investment visa application will be overlooked, and they will favourably consider that application if you've been accepted onto one of those programs.
This is good news.
It is if you're a certain type of startup operator.
All right.
I mean, all of these things are good news. I've got no complaints about any of them, really.
Good on you. If you've got any questions for Steve, doesn't matter what we're talking about, morningbrew@rthk.hk. And as I say, it doesn't matter how silly you think it is, somebody has to answer your question, and I guarantee he'll know the answer. I want to go back to a court case that's probably still ongoing. I'm reading from the SCMP last month. Granting dependent visas to gay spouses would open, quote, back door to same-sex marriage, Hong Kong lawyer argues. The decision to refuse lesbian dependent visa was based on marital status, he says. Now, this case did the rounds very, very, very briefly. We're talking about a couple who had a civil partnership in London from 3 or 4 years ago, giving the same rights and responsibilities under British law. But when they came to Hong Kong, it was different. Now, before you get onto this one, I want to add in something. I also know of a couple who've done this very successfully in Hong Kong, and the proviso was the partner could not work.
Well, the essence of this litigation, right, is equality before the law. Why should you, if you are homosexual or heterosexual, be treated differently when it comes to something
that's... Well, you know that, and I know
that. Something that's universal to every foreign national that comes to Hong Kong, right? If you are in a heterosexual relationship if you're in a heterosexual marriage that's genuine, you can get a dependent visa for your spouse in that instance. If you're homosexual and you have a marriage... your relationship has otherwise been recognised in law
somewhere else. Yeah,
yeah. You can't get a dependent visa. Now, the critical difference between not getting a dependent visa and getting a dependent visa is, with a dependent visa, you get all of these privileges. You get to work. You get to establish a business. You get to join in a business. You get to study. You get to do whatever you want, completely condition free. You don't have to get the immigration department.
But if you accept some other conditions, you can be here with your partner.
Well, because under existing immigration policy, same-sex partners, married or otherwise, can't get dependent visas, period.
Right.
The only thing that the immigration department can do to avoid the separation of families, in this instance, same-sex partner families, is to grant the same-sex partner that's trailing here, that doesn't have a residence visa, a prolonged visitor visa. Now, the prolonged visitor visa is exactly the same immigration status you get when you arrive at the airport as a visitor.
But longer,
because you get a six-month limit of stay. The Immigration Department have pre-assessed your rationale for being here and the availability of this visa in your circumstances. They look to see, essentially, that the same criteria are in play, whether it's a dependent visa or a prolonged visitor visa. That is, can the Hong Kong resident sponsor of the visa for the trailing spouse put a roof over his or her head, or put food on his or her table, and is the relationship genuine?
But if we read the newspapers, Steve, I mean, I'm glad I found out about this. You read the newspapers, you'd say, you know, if somebody's in a same-sex relationship that's been recognised by law in another country, you could be forgiven for thinking, well, they can't come here. But that's not true. It's just that they can't work and do all that stuff. But then if your priority is you just want to be with the person, you've got a result.
You can get it. Yeah, you do. The Immigration Department don't separate families. That's not the issue. Same-sex partners in these circumstances, oh, for 10, 15 years that I've been sort of, you know, focusing my attention on this, but sort of, you know, taking into consideration this as sort of, you know, society's moved on and we've actually realised that we should afford everybody equal rights, irrespective of the sexual orientation. But Immigration Department have always granted prolonged visitor visas for same-sex partners who are in a genuine relationship.
That's not, the bit I think isn't getting through
they've
to,
never separated
to us.
Indeed, they've never separated families, but that's not the issue.
Right.
The issue is that because you can't get the dependent visa, you don't have all these other privileges.
Gotcha.
So the prolonged visitor visa is what I've called a slippers and pipe visa, because effectively under the prolonged visitor visa, all that you can do is wait for your spouse to come home every night and hand him his slippers and his pipe.
Some people are happy with that.
Absolutely, but if you're... But if you're a professional and you know, you're used to, you know, engaging in society in a professional way, coming to Hong Kong and not being able to do that when you've got friends, you know, who are heterosexual are able to do that, that's discriminatory, and it needs to be stopped.
I know it's discriminatory. I think I'm talking on a personal level here. So basically, is this pretty easy for people to get if they know what the questions to ask?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. However, this thing is going to trundle on and on and on, because the Immigration Department are like the proverbial oil tanker, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to shift course at the very, very last minute. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But I welcome the litigation.
I don't know if this is true, but what we've seen recently, you know, the 12-year-old kid that decided with his grandma to split back to China, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You get the impression that it's because the spotlight was put on this family that all the trouble started.
There may be merit in that, actually, truth be known.
It's just an impression.
Yeah, and, you know, again, in fairness to the Immigration Department, we see thousands of cases, right? And you know, 99.9% of the time, the Immigration Department get it right. When it comes to this particular issue, though, the Immigration Department are clearly wrong. It's time to afford same-sex partners that have got a legal marriage or a relationship recognised in another jurisdiction as a marriage for all practical purposes. Yeah. They should be afforded dependent visas. What's the reason for not giving it to them?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, plainly, You don't know. I certainly don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, because we don't have legislation on the books that that will coerce them to do the right thing.
The good news is, if you're with a partner, you can stay with that partner in Hong Kong.
They will not separate families.
Yeah.
But that's not the
issue. I want to talk another kind of separation, and a very nasty kind of separation here. So you come here on a dependent visa, and the person who's the sponsor of you sadly passes away.
What can you do to extend your dependent visa? Yeah, I had that question asked on the blog the other day, actually. Well, again, kudos to the Immigration Department. Every time I've seen this, what the Immigration Department do is they consider an application for an extension of stay on that basis on its own merits. So essentially, if you get a dependent visa, in order to extend it, you need to remain married to your lawful spouse. But if your spouse, a sponsor, has passed away and your dependent visa is coming up for expiry, what can you do to remain in Hong Kong in order to carry on your life here, notwithstanding the fact that you've lost your spouse?
You shouldn't have it taken away, should you?
They don't take it away. From what they do is they consider your application on its own, on your own merits. So typically what they do is, the Immigration Department does, they look to see if you're working and they get a quick sponsorship in place from your employer so that you can get an employment visa. If you've got your own business, they look to see that the business is properly compliant and it's running and it's making some income, and in that case then they'll give you a visa to be able to remain in Hong Kong to carry on your business. But it's, in a sense, it's out of policy because it's on its own merits.
But if you have your own business, surely if your loved one dies, you're going to end up spending a lot of money one way and another.
Well, that might well be the case.
You won't get penalised for that.
No, gosh, no. Immigration Department are not looking to, you know, put oil on the fire, as it were, of somebody's misfortunes through the loss of their spouse.
Yeah.
They're looking at the situation and they're saying, OK, if there's any children here, is that sufficient reason to grant the extension as far as we possibly can? Because the individual's not going to become a charge on Hong Kong public coffers. Whether there's children or otherwise, again, the Immigration Department will look to see what's the rationale for continuing to remain here. Is the rationale that you're running your own business? Okay, give us the basic paperwork to show that you've got a viable business. If you've got a viable business, bang, we'll allow you an extension on the strength of that viable business. If you're working for somebody else, give us details of your employer, and then we'll give you an employment visa on the basis that you have got an employment that should continue your to remain here. So Immigration Department always come to the party, but it just depends on your circumstances at that time.
Yeah, just got an email here from James who says, like the idea about the pipe and slippers visa, can you just clarify how long this usually can be?
Yeah, Immigration Department grant these for 6 months at a time. And on the 179th day of your limit of stay, you go down to the Immigration Department, it takes you 2 or 3 hours, you need 3 or 4 bits of paper further, and then you get an extension for another 6 months.
You can't nip off to Macau.
Well, you can, but you're not getting a prolonged visa upon arrival at that point, you see. So you maintain your status by dealing with the Immigration Department at Immigration Tower 6 months at a time. Here's the problem. Because you get less than 180-day limit of stay under the Registrations of Persons Ordinance, you're effectively precluded from getting an ID card. So you might be sort of, you know, a pseudo-resident here, so to speak, under the prolonged visitor visa, but you don't get an ID card, and that can have a lot of practical implications, as you can imagine.
Got it. Let's go back to this story for a second. So QT and her partner SS, that's just one couple out of thousands and thousands of other potential ones.
Yeah.
When you do your stats and things, Steve, are you noticing that this could make a dent on Hong Kong's workforce, etc.?
Oh, not really, all things considered. That's a great question, actually, because when...
What if QT and SS, sorry, if QT and SS are, like, seriously high-flying cats?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, OK. I mean, I can't sort of really speak to what's going on in this case because I'm not on the inside of it. But,
gotcha.
But to answer your question in another way is, at the time that the Immigration Department were introducing the Quality Migrant Admission Scheme, they also readjusted the rule that had been put into place for two years or so, where you may remember in 2004, the Immigration Department overnight removed working privileges for people who had dependent visas, new dependent visas.
Yeah, and then they put it back, didn't they?
2 years later, they put it back. Because the reason for that, Phil, was that when they were doing the assessment under the Quality Migrant Admission Scheme, and they looked to see the number of spouses that had separately applied for work permission during those 2 years.
Yeah.
Of those people, those spouses that had applied, something like 98% of them all got approved. So essentially what that was saying is that if you're sufficiently smart enough to get a QMAS visa or you're smart enough to get an employment visa, the likelihood is that your spouse is probably going to be of an equal intellectual equivalency. And therefore, making these people submit applications for permission to work when 99% of them were getting approved anyway, was just making work for the immigration department. Yeah. So in fairness to them, they changed the policy. So what is happening in terms of this litigation and what might result, I'm not quite sure.
Well, that's a whole different area. That's the legality of civil partnerships in Hong Kong, which seems to be a long way off.
But I think you know, the same maxim surely would apply, that if your partner has got sufficient intellectual nous to get approved for immigration status here, then you're probably going to be of, you know, equal intellectual level, if you will. And so
it makes sense.
They're going to make a contribution. Give them permission to.
If anybody wants to find out about this, it's not actually called a pipe and slippers visa. What's it called?
It's called a prolonged visitor visa for same-sex partners.
Right.
Now that's vernacular that I've couched over the years. If you use that language at the immigration department and ask for an application form for that, you won't get it because it doesn't exist. But that's essentially the immigration status the immigration department are affording people in these circumstances.
What do you do?
What do I do?
No, I mean, you said if you ask them for it, you won't get it.
You ask for the application form. No, you ask the application form for an entry visa to visit Hong Kong, and then you use that application form.
You take it from there.
That's right.
Steve Barnes is the one and only Hong Kong visa geezer. Thanks for coming. We'll talk soonest. Take care.